Good evening, everyone. Again,
as we've been going the last few weeks, I apologize for my absence. But as I understand, we've been going through
the idea of preparation. Preparation, especially thinking about this Christmas time and how the holiday season has a lot of times where we need to prepare for something. And looking at this verse, I believe the key verse, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And I think right there, the fact that we need to be told to prepare, we realize that preparing for something isn't something that just comes naturally. It's not something that just happens. We need to purpose in our hearts to prepare for something. So that's the idea we have here. And again, looking at the Christmas season, we think of what are different ways that people prepare, even for the season. You think of wrapping presents for friends or family. You think of people having big family dinners or these feasts where they have so many people over. A lot of preparation goes into it. You also think of what else? We think of decorations, like decorations for houses and decorations inside. A lot of people will put so much work, so much preparation into preparing for one season or one month, you know, whatever it may be. A lot of preparation goes into the holiday things that surround Christmas. So tonight, we're going to talk about preparing to please Him. And in order to prepare to please Him, just to go with the P theme, figured prerequisites for preparing to please Him, easy to remember. And this just gives us the idea that certain things are required before we can please God. And again, these three things that we're going to go over isn't something that's set in stone, but just an idea that I came across as we're reading through Scripture, reading through the Word of God. Three different prerequisites that can help us to prepare and be ready to please Him. So, again, keeping the holiday season in mind as well. So, when we think of these things that we need beforehand, the idea is finding out what pleases Him. And these three prerequisites that we're going to go through are the first one, knowing what pleases Him, believing what pleases Him, and then doing what pleases Him. Again, these three things and the importance of doing them in the right order. Knowing what pleases Him first, believing what pleases Him second, and then thirdly, doing what pleases Him. So if we can open up to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. And we'll start here, then we'll start going through these things that are required for pleasing Him, and then we'll come back to the verse a little bit later. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we can just open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful evening. We thank You for the opportunity for everyone who's made it out tonight. We pray for those who were not able to make it out because of sickness, but we just pray that You would bless the reading of Your Word. We pray that Your Word would speak to all of our hearts and that our lives would be changed by it. Again, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the living Word, Your Son, Jesus Christ. We just pray all these things in His precious name. Amen. All right. We'll come back to this verse in Hebrews, Hebrews 11, 5, and 6. But before we get into actually pleasing Him, one of the prerequisites is knowing what pleases Him. So we'll come here, the first prerequisite, know. And the idea is, in order for us to know what pleases God, I think it'd be helpful for us to find out what doesn't please Him. So just going through a few verses, we have the ideas of not pleasing God and pleasing God. We'll go through not pleasing Him first. And a few verses we have here, Romans 8:8 tells us that if anyone is in the flesh, he cannot please God. And we think of, for myself, if I'm living in the flesh and I'm not in Christ, maybe if I'm looking at the perspective of I haven't trusted Christ as Savior first. In that aspect, there is no way that I could possibly please God. But the other way that I thought of it, not knowing if the verse is directly speaking about this, but if I've trusted Christ as Savior, if I claim that I've trusted Christ, but I continue to live in the flesh and not embrace and live the life of Christ, if I'm continuing to live in the flesh, then there's no way that I can please God. So we see here that being in the flesh, that's one way that we would not please God. Also, Colossians 3:22 tells us that as men pleasers, if we live as men pleasers, we can't please him. And that's, that verse also talks about eye service, living, to look good in front of mankind, to look good, to impress them, working so that we would look good in front of men. There, the goal is, as we continue to Galatians 1:10, is seeking to please men. What is the motive behind what we're doing? And we see that if we're seeking to please men, our motive is to please men and not to please God. And, the hymn we just sang, Living for Jesus, one of the verses stuck out to me saying, living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name. What is the reason for the things that we do in this life? Is it to please men or is it to please God? So we see here, if we want to know how to not please God, it's seeking to please men. So maybe we can get a better understanding of let's not do this, but what does the word of God tell us to do? How do we please God? How is he pleased by how we live and what we do? 1 Samuel 12:22 tells us, just get a little background here. 1 Samuel 12:22 says, it pleased the Lord to make you his people. And even going back to the very basics, going back to the gospel message, when someone comes to Jesus Christ, humbly saying, I can't do anything on my own. It's only Christ who can satisfy, but only Christ who can save me from my sins. That brings pleasure to God. And we think of the verse in the New Testament, the reference, I can't think of it right now, but where it talks about how God desires that none should perish, but that all should be saved. So we see there that it's pleasing God. And this verse, again, it says, it pleased the Lord to make you his people. So whenever any one of us, any person in life, when they realize that they're a sinner and come to the realization that they need a savior, they're in danger of the fires of hell, the punishment of their own sin. When someone comes to that realization and turns to Christ, accepts his perfect sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, that pleases God so much. And that's the very basic thing. Before we can please God by how we live, we need to please God by where we stand. And that's where he wants us, is to stand in the person of Jesus Christ. So continuing on, Psalm 69, verse 30 to 32, another passage tells us that God is pleased when we praise his name. So, and this is, you know, pretty understandable. Of course, God's going to be pleased when we lift up his name. But looking at the next few verses, I'll just turn there real quickly. You don't need to. Psalm 69, 30 to 32. And these verses tell us, they actually struck something in my mind, which I'm sure you all know, but it kind of just put it in a way that made it easier for me to grasp. Psalm 69, 30 to 32 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. And we can stop right there. But seeing that in these verses, we see that God is both pleased with a sacrifice, as we saw there, an ox, or that he's also pleased with praising his name. So God is pleased with both of these things. But when we're trying to understand better what pleases God, we do need to understand that some things please God more than others. And just like we read in this verse and other passages in scripture where it says to obey is better than sacrifice, here we read to praise his name, which is far better than a sacrifice like an ox. So that's something that we can think about as we go through the word of God and try and know what pleases him. We need to know that certain things please God more than other things. So continuing from there, 1 Thessalonians 4:1 through 2 tells us instructions on how we ought to walk and to please God, I believe the verse says. And there we see that following those verses, it gives us many instructions for us to follow. And again, we think about, well, how do we please God? And how do we know what to do? That's looking through the word of God. And even one example, Hebrews 13:16 tells us, do good and share. Two basic things, you know, and it says, do good and share, for with these sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we know basic things that, you know, now we know to do good and to share, you know, basic things that we've learned, you know, since kindergarten, since young ages, that we can do it to please God. Also, 2 Timothy 2:4 tells us that we're here in this life, if we've trusted Christ as a Savior, to please him who enlisted us as a soldier. So we're thinking, we're here living for Christ. Now let's act like it. We're standing in the position of grace, being saved by the sacrifice of Christ. Now let's live by it. Let's please him who enlisted us. So these are just different ideas of how we can please or not please God. So now we know how to do it. Excuse me. And we look in the Word, the first prerequisite, knowing. Where do we find it? All in the Word of God. That's where we turn to know how to please God. Then we go to the second prerequisite. And this is where we think about the believing part. And I thought of the idea of faith versus doubt. So we're going to go back to that those verses in Hebrews 11, 5, and 6. And I'll actually just put it up here so you don't have to turn to it again. But we have Hebrews 11, 5, and 6. I'll read through those again. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I just bolded some of the words that I wanted to focus on tonight, where it says, before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that just made me think about the word testimony, where someone shared with me that, you know, it takes a lifetime to build a testimony and only a moment to ruin it. And we see that there's a lot of preparation in that as far as trying to live a godly testimony, a testimony that will be pleasing to Jesus Christ. And we see here a great example, Enoch. By faith, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And then we stop at that verse and we say, well, how did he please God? All it tells us is that he pleased God. You know, but it says by faith, and we go on to the next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please God or to please him. So we see here, we can just kind of do our own little math equation in our minds here. Enoch pleased God, and then the next verse tells us it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So, therefore, we must come to the conclusion that Enoch did have faith. And again, in this chapter, where it talks about the great faith of some of these men and some of these women in history, that without faith, it is impossible. But we can see that Enoch did have faith. And even just to relate this verse, Hebrews 11, 6 is a verse that was crucial in my life at one point in time, still is, but even in my relationship with Julie, when we were living apart, I was in New Jersey, she was in Florida. This was before we were married. And a lot of times by the world standards, you know, and by people around me, the conversations I'd hear, that's never going to work out. You're in New Jersey, she's in Florida. You know, so many things preventing us from getting together, whether it's finances, you know, you think of, you know, the expenses of conversations, of flying back and forth, just so many different things that put doubts in my mind. And when we think of when we become a Christian, we have this new nature, but we still need to fight against the old nature. Again, the idea of preparation. We can't just relax and let whatever come, because Satan's going to keep giving us doubts. But as I turn to this verse, I would say, you know what? It's not going to please God if I go into this relationship with no faith at all. It's not going to please God if I have my doubts and say, oh, it may not work out, or maybe I shouldn't, you know, put 100% towards, you know, towards this relationship, all according to the Word of God. We see that without faith, it is impossible to please him. And again, I just had to come to the realization that God, you know, I did go to God and just say, God, if this is going to work out, it's going to work out. If it's not, it's not. Your will is going to be worked out in my life. But I have faith that you are going to work out your perfect plan in my life. And that's something that I had to come to. And again, his plan for my life may not have been, you know, something that I expected or something that I had wanted. But it made me realize that I have to have faith that God is going to work out his perfect plan in my life. And again, we can't always know that plan. But that's just a reminder for when we turn to the Word of God, and we know what pleases him. We have this example in Enoch that he had faith and that he believed. So continuing on from here, we see an example, again, a good example in Enoch about having faith, about believing the Word of God after he comes to know the Word of God. So we go on to this third prerequisite. Knowing what pleases him, believing what pleases him, and now doing what pleases him. So, again, we look back at Enoch, these verses we've just read. Okay, he had faith. All right, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But what does it mean that he had faith? We think, did he just sit there and people came around him and they felt this faith around him? Is it like some kind of like glowing presence. It, like a lot of people think of faith as something mystical or something magical, you know, especially outside of the Christian realm. The world may think of faith as something, you know, very mysterious. But we can go on and think about, before we talk about this third prerequisite, we think about faith and works, what we do, and the comparison and contrast between faith and works. So just looking at a very familiar verse, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that key phrase there, "not of works," it is by the grace of God. And again, when we talk about pleasing Him and this third prerequisite of doing, we need to make it clear that we're not talking about salvation here. Salvation is by faith alone. And as we saw in 1 Samuel, that verse we read before, faith alone in God, coming to God through Christ for salvation, that pleases God. That's our first step, the first step that we need to do to please God. But what can we do to continually please God in this life? And that's where works comes into play. And again, thinking of Enoch, does he have this faith where he just sits there and, oh, this faith just kind of, you know, goes like out of him? No, we need to realize that there are verses in Scripture that tell us that works are important. Again, not for salvation. We know that you're not saved by your works. But James 2, if you guys want to turn there, James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And again, just to make it clear, salvation by faith alone, that pleases God. But what else pleases God? And this third prerequisite, doing, we read about in James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. James 2, 17 and 18. "Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" And I think this is the perfect picture, this verse, the perfect picture of how Enoch lived by faith. And we can actually continue, if you guys want to turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, I know we're flipping around a lot, but just to get an idea, what we read in Hebrews, Enoch had faith, he had a testimony that he pleased God, but what does that mean? You know, how does that relate to doing? You know, all we read about is Enoch having faith, pleasing God. But we get a little more of the picture of the life of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, reading from verse 21 to 24. Genesis 5, 21 to 24. "Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." We see just in these few verses, twice it says, Enoch walked with God. And this is, I believe, a perfect picture of how Enoch had faith. He had faith because he walked with God. Again, if you just want to turn one page over, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Genesis 6, 8, and 9, looking at Noah. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Other translations say found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And some translations, I saw one that said, "But Noah pleased the Lord." Exactly what we're looking at tonight, preparing to please him. Continuing on, "Noah pleased the Lord." This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Again, that exact same phrase. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. And again, walking, we'll get to it in a little bit, but we think about doing. These people must have done the will of God, saw the word of God, or saw what God had commanded of them, and lived by it, and did something, whether it's the way they live, but they did something. We think of Solomon, not only our actions, but our speech. We don't have to turn there, but 1 Kings 3, 9 to 11 talks about Solomon giving a speech, and then it says, "Solomon's speech pleased the Lord." Does our speech please the Lord? That's another aspect, not only what we do, but what we say kind of goes along with what we do. Does it please the Lord? That's something that we do in this life, our conversation that can please the Lord or displease the Lord, where we need to be careful. And then Balaam, if we can just turn to Numbers chapter 24, real quick. Numbers chapter 24, another example of a great example in Scripture at this point in his life where we see Balaam doing what pleased the Lord. Numbers 24, verses 1 through 3. "Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go out, as at other times, to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Then he took up his oracle and said, and it goes on from there. But we see here that Balaam saw what pleased the Lord, and going along with these prerequisites, he knew what pleased the Lord. Then it says, he did not go out as at other times to seek to use sorcery. This was the lifestyle Balaam was using. He was seeking to use sorcery beforehand. But once he knew what pleased the Lord, once he knew what pleased God, then he believed it. And it says he didn't go out as other times. He knew, he believed, and then he did. We see that he set his face toward the wilderness, and he took up his oracle and said and spoke. And we see here that perfect example in Balaam of these three prerequisites. He knew what pleased the Lord, he believed what pleased the Lord, and then he did what pleased the Lord. So, excuse me, we have these great examples in these men here when we talk about faith and works. Now, we say the word do, and what do we talk about when we say do? Do, to get a better picture of it, is even to suggest that doing something is our faith in action. Like we said, works are evidence of our faith. But when I think of do, I think of one footprint. And picture this in life. You're in life, you're a Christian, you've accepted Christ, you've already pleased him with that. But you take one step, that's doing something for God. Okay? But one step doing something for God, we look at the lives of Enoch and the lives of Enoch and Noah, we see that says they walked with God. Does that mean they did one great thing for God and that was it? They did something for God? They took one step for God? I don't believe so. And again, that's my speculation, but we see that through scripture, it says Enoch walked with God. And when we have this idea of walk, we don't think of one step. It's not just do once, but it's do and do and do for the Lord. And again, it's a continuation. It's step after step after step, living for the Lord. And again, we have these examples, these great examples in Enoch, Noah, Solomon, Balaam, you know, great examples that we can learn something from about how to live to please the Lord, how to please God. And again, going back to the Christmas theme, I think of, if I wanted to get Paul a present for Christmas, and I'm trying to think of like what I would do. I'm like, oh man, how do I figure out what Paul wants? And say I go to Mike and I say, Mike, what does Paul want for Christmas? You know, and he could tell me something, and I'm pretty sure it'd be way off from what Paul really wanted, but he could be right on. He could be a little off. He might somewhat know what Paul wanted, but going to this example of knowing what pleases something, if I want to know what's going to please Paul for a Christmas present, what do I do? Do I go to Mike? Do I go to even Paul's dad? What do? No, I go directly to Paul. If I go directly to Paul, he can tell me right to my face. He can say, Joe, this is what I want. Buy it for me. He's going to say, this is what pleases me. This is what I want. And then I'm 100% sure that that's what he wants for Christmas. So thinking of that idea, we have these godly men, great men. Again, I keep referring to Enoch and Noah, walked with God, great men, great examples. But if I want to know what God wants, if I want to know what pleases God, same way with Paul. If I want to know what pleases Paul, I go directly to him. And just such a great thing for us to know what pleases God, he came down to us. We see that Jesus Christ, God himself, the Son of God in the flesh, came to this earth. And we can look to all these godly men, but put all them aside when we come to the person of Jesus Christ. And we see that, you know, through Christ, if we look at his life, his death, his resurrection, the life that he lived, we find what pleases God perfectly. And we continue to those other good examples, great examples even. We find the perfect example in Jesus Christ. And just to refer to a few verses, we won't turn there. Just going to read these off. In Matthew 3:17, where we see God the Father speaking from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We see that God was pleased with the life of the Son. And if we want to please God the Father as well, we need to say, hey, I'm going to follow in the example. And I think it's verses in 1 Peter that tell us to follow the example. Or even Paul says in some of his letters, follow my example as I follow Christ. So to find out what pleases God, we can follow directly what Christ does and how Christ lived. Because in this verse it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Also going on to John 8:29. We see that Christ is speaking. He's saying, I came to do the things that please him. I came to please the Father. So we know that Jesus Christ and his purpose for living was to please the Father. And again, we shouldn't be seeking to please men. We should be seeking to please the Father, just as Christ did. And also Hebrews 10:5-7, where it says, a body you have prepared for me, and I've come to do your will, O God. Just amazing things to see God himself coming in the flesh and realizing that Christ came to do the will of the Father, to please the Father, because in doing everything that the Father wanted, obviously the Father would be completely pleased. And going on to one more verse, a couple more verses maybe, but this verse here that is a little strange for us to understand about pleasing someone and pleasing God. But we read Isaiah 53:10, and again, we can't help but think of the cross, where it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. We think of how many things that please God, and then we think of this, that such a tormenting scene to look at what Christ has gone through and to realize that that pleased the Father. And why did it please the Father? Because of his love for us. And again, it's difficult. It's impossible for us to think of in human terms that something like this would please a Father, to bruise the Son, but to bruise the Son for our sakes because he loved us so much. And Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth and die on the cross for our sins. And that's just an amazing thing for us to realize that Christ, that God was pleased with the sacrifice of Christ. Such an incredible and grateful thing we can be thankful for during this season. Continuing on, also Romans 15:3, we see that it says, even Christ did not please himself. Again, we're not here to please ourselves or please other men. If we know Christ as Savior, we need to put that aside and make our, again, like the hymn said, our duty to serve him, living for Jesus, you know, living for God. So that's just, again, a few verses, but we see that throughout Scripture, you know, so many verses from Genesis all the way to Revelation that talk about how God the Father was completely pleased with his Son, Jesus Christ, and completely pleased with his sacrifice. Excuse me. So, and again, there's some of the verses, and even your own study, kind of how I prepared a little bit for this message, just looking up the appearances of pleased and who was pleased and who was not pleased, you get a good idea of what God expects from us, what God requires of us, because we are accepting, we are receiving his free gift of eternal life, his free gift of salvation through his Son. So we think of this here, the perfect example of Jesus Christ. And we'll go to this next slide here where we think about going back to the beginning where we talked about preparation. I believe preparing to receive him, preparing to be used by him, and preparing to please him. And a lot of times it's hard for me to grasp something when I can't put it to like a real life situation. But even this idea of preparation, I had in my mind something that I had seen thinking about the holiday season. And again, like we talked about at the beginning, how people prepare for the Christmas season, whether it's wrapping presents, having people over for dinner, or decorating their homes, decorating the outside of their homes. I have a little clip that I found that will give you an idea of how much energy, devotion, dedication, commitment people put in to preparing for one season. You know, whether it's just the lights, or this is specifically a light presentation, but if someone wouldn't mind, Paul, if you don't mind getting the lights for me, just a small clip, for us to get a better idea of how much can we prepare for something. I actually just wanted a break from standing for so long. And even that video, it kind of just gets me ready for the Christmas season, for, you know, just the lights. And you think about the amount of work that went into that. You think about the amount of preparation, not only setting up, but, you know, getting it set to the song and whatever electronics and whatever was involved in preparing for that. You can look at that and say, hey, they obviously prepared for that light presentation. Can people look at our lives and say, hey, he really prepared or she really prepared to live their life for Christ? It's something that, you know, we could hope and pray that, and be assured that, you know, when we do prepare to please God, he will reward us, you know, and we will, you know, have opportunities to please him. He will provide them. But again, just looking at that video, we see so much work goes into preparation. And again, just for one season of the year, even one month, even if it's just a couple weeks, 2 weeks maybe, to have that light presentation, all the preparation that goes into that. What if we put that kind of preparation into every step that we walk for Christ, into every every day, every minute of our lives, if we put in that amount of preparation into our Christian life, how pleased would the Lord be? How pleased would he be with how we lived if we were living for him with that kind of dedication, and even more so, that kind of commitment, putting forth that much energy and effort to live for Christ? And again, you know, the faith that we do have, before we get there, we'll go on to see that, again, as we looked at different characters in Scripture, there's a strong correlation between walking and pleasing him. It goes to show that these people in the Bible, they didn't do one thing for God, and they didn't consider that walking. You think, well, you know, it's do. It's living a life continually, a change in lifestyle to live for Christ, to live for God. And you think of, well, you know, well, what can we do? You keep saying do. Well, what are things that we do? We mentioned the verse before, do good and share, even a basic thing like sharing. And then I also thought of the verses in Galatians 5. When we think about the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about walking in the Spirit. It says, walk in the Spirit. And it says, well, how do you walk? It's by continually doing and continually living according to those fruits, whether it's patience, love, self-control. You know, how can we do that? We can have self-control when someone makes us mad. We can have patience when we're waiting for something, or we can, you know, show love to someone who needs it, or someone who hasn't shown love to us, an even greater love. So again, walking, continually living our lives for Christ. And again, we see that it is something that we need to prepare for. It's something that doesn't happen automatically. We really need to prepare for it. And going back to those prerequisites, how do we prepare? How do we prepare to please him? We need to know what pleases him. And how do we do that? Looking into the Word of God. Again, I wish I could just stand up here and, you know, just read off everything that the Bible says about this is how you please me. This is how, about God telling us, this is how you please me. But I need to spend so much more time in the Word of God than I do now to find out what pleases him. These are just a few references that we went through. Know what pleases him. Get into the Word of God. Believe what pleases him. That's trusting in the Word of God. And a great thing when we talk about faith, I think of the verses in 1st or 2nd Timothy where it says, even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. We will fall. You know, our old nature will creep up on us and we'll fall into sin, or we'll have doubts and we won't put our faith in God. But we can be so thankful that Christ went all the way to the cross and that God will love us continually no matter what, and that he remains faithful. Just such an incredible reminder. But again, how do we know that we know what pleases him? And then how do we show that we believe what pleases him? Showing that is by doing. Again, salvation by faith alone. But if we believe what pleases him, we will do it. We will let it show in our lives. And really just an encouragement to all of us to realize that walking with God is pleasing God. And how do we find out how to walk with God and how to please God? By getting back into the Word. It goes right back to the basics. It's always returning to the Word of God. So let's just let that be a reminder for us, especially during this holiday season, this Christmas season, where we think about how Christ pleased the Father by coming to this earth when we think of the birth of Christ. So again, turning back to the Word of God. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your Word. We thank you for this time where we can see what you would have provided for us in Scripture. We thank you so much for providing us with a completely free salvation, and for how you provided that salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, coming to this earth and dying on the cross for our sins, and also raising from the dead. We just thank you for that, and for the forgiveness of sins that we can have by putting our complete faith in that. And we just pray that you would be with us as we walk through our daily lives. And not just that we would go and do something for you and be satisfied with that one act or with those two or three acts, but that we would continually walk with you, and that you would give us the strength, give us the grace, provide the faith for us to completely trust in you in every decision we make and in every move that we make. We pray that we would completely hand it over to you and do everything for your glory. We also pray that you would not let us seek to please men, and not let us live as men pleasers, but just draw our hearts to you. And again, we just pray for this Christmas season, just that the gospel would go out clearly, that people be reminded of your birth, your Son's birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And we just thank you for your salvation that you so freely offer us. And just pray that in every moment we'd be able to please you. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.